the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Welcome to week two of our new series, Living the Apostles' Creed. Nick introduced the series last week and reminded us that the creed rightly applied should impact our head, our hearts, and our hands. Yes, the creed certainly gives us knowledge of God, but it should also impact our hearts, as the creed reminds us of how much God loves his creation. That he loves you and me so much that he wants us to become adopted sons and daughters with his own son, Jesus. It should inspire us to join in with God's mission to bring his kingdom of shalom, his kingdom of peace on earth as it is in heaven. So tonight we're reflecting on the opening phrase of this creed, I believe in God, which, as Nick mentioned last week, is a translation of the three Latin words credo in Deum. Credo in Deum can actually be translated a number of different ways. I am of the opinion that God exists, or I have confidence in God, or I put my trust in God, I have faith in God. I particularly like the last translation because Michael Bird, in the book we are recommending alongside this series, reminds us the Christian life is a story of faith, of coming to faith, of keeping the faith, and of finishing in faith. And Hebrews 11 helpfully defines faith as confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. So I wonder tonight what point each of us are at on our personal journeys of faith. For those who do believe in God, can you remember your first steps of faith? I wonder what led you to be able to declare, I believe in God, I have faith in God. For those who are exploring the Christian faith, I wonder what drew you to explore Christianity in the first place. And there may be some of us here tonight who are struggling on their journey of faith. So I wonder what drew you to faith initially and what is pulling you away from keeping the faith. Tonight we're reflecting on the sources which may lead to and sustain us on our journeys of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I really enjoy listening to people's journeys of faith because they are all so different. And later on in our breakout rooms, there may be an opportunity for one or two to share their own spiritual journeys of faith and coming to faith and what it was like in their situations. Because since each of us live unique lives, all our family backgrounds and life experiences are so diverse, when and how many of us become followers of Jesus equally varies so much as well. One thing I've observed over the years is that most Christians, when reflecting back over their coming to faith, talk more about often God finding them than them finding God. They talk of God coming to them first and how they responded to his coming. God of Christianity is certainly a God who initiates, the God who created right at the beginning. It's a God who reaches out, who comes time and time again to his creation, as we read about in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's a God who calls and who reveals his presence. So let's explore some of the different ways in which God reveals himself to us. Some people start their journey of faith by considering questions such as, where did all of this come from and why is it here? How does life, my life, on this planet make sense? The writer of Psalm 19 claims that God's creation reveals his existence, as Psalm 19, 1-4 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And I distinctly remember asking myself, is there a God, at the age of 20? I was on a teaching practice at a rural village school in North Devon, and one night during that practice I stepped outside the farmhouse where I was staying and happened to look up and see the greatest number of stars I had ever seen. Standing there, I thought how insignificant I was compared to the vastness of the universe. And I asked myself, how did this all come to be, and was there a purpose behind it? And perhaps you, at some stage in your life's journey, have asked yourself the very same questions. Whether it's the grandeur of nature or our awareness of our humanity, it seems natural to reflect on our place in the world at those moments and to ask questions about what's life all about. Now, although Paul's letter to the church in Rome actually focuses on helping Jewish and Gentile Christians live together, in chapter 1, Paul mirrors Psalm 19's cry that God reveals himself to us through our experience of the natural world. Let me remind you what Paul writes in Romans 1, verses 19 and 20. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. Paul includes this truth about the God who reveals himself in a section of the letter to the Romans comparing Jewish and Gentile responses to God. The focus of the overall passage that this is found in is that while God reveals himself, humans refuse to respond to God's revelation. Listen to the follow-on verses, verses 21 through to 25. For though they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being, or birds, or four-footed animals, or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the degrading of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. These verses tell us that there is something in our human nature, something which seems to prevent us ultimately from finding God directly through the natural world. Yes, the natural world causes us to examine our lives and our place in the world, but we fall short of reaching God. And many of you, of course, know why we fall short of finding God, because the Bible clearly teaches us that all humans are damaged and broken, that our thinking is distorted and that we're too self-absorbed. To use a theological word, too sinful to see the big picture and recognise the hand of God in creation. When we look at the world around us, yes, we ask great questions. Yes, we have a desire to answer them and find the truth of why life is like it is. But we seem incapable on our own to find the real answer. Tom Wright has recently published a book on this topic. It's called Broken Signposts: How Christianity Makes Sense of the World. And he suggests that there are seven signposts within our human experience that suggest there is something bigger out there. He names them as the common human experiences of justice, our sense of spirituality, our sense of relationships, of beauty, of freedom, truth and power. And he goes on to explain that these signposts are broken because by themselves they do not tell us all what we would like to know. Each signpost raises questions about why life is like it is. But following Paul in his letter to the church in Rome, Wright reminds us that humans miss the correct answers. They come up with their own answers which fall short of the truth that God exists, that nature reveals God. If you're searching for God, or if you have friends who are, I wonder what questions the seven signposts raise for you or for them. What should a just world look like? And why is our world so full of injustice? Do you have hope that justice will one day come? And why is that hope strong or weak in you? This week, why not think if there are any particular questions which niggle away at your mind about creation and our human experience? In order to grow our faith in God, we all need to find answers to the questions that we ask ourselves. So if creation doesn't reveal God enough, where would you say God reveals himself the most? Where should we go to? Now, some Christians have called themselves the people of the book. And by this, they mean that Christians use the Bible to help answer the questions we have. Those of you who met in home groups this week will have explored why the Bible is the best place, the special place to go. You may well this week have looked at 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness." And while this is a really useful passage, I personally find 2 Peter 1 verse 20 and 21 a more helpful summary. It says this, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now, prophecy in the ancient world involved explaining why life was like it was in the present time, what we sometimes call forthtelling, as much, if not more, than explaining what life would be like in the future, what we sometimes call foretelling. And this 2 Peter passage reminds me that God's Holy Spirit both inspires and illuminates the message of the Bible. The Bible is more than simply human words. They are God's prophetic words as well. And which is why we can call the Bible the Word of God. So when we are guided by the Holy Spirit as we read it, then God's truth is revealed. So the Bible, you can see, is a far better God-given source which may lead to and sustain us on our journeys of faith. But I want to give a little bit more direction to any exploration of the Bible, particularly for those of us and our friends who are exploring faith or struggling to keep the faith. Something we as a church here at Belmont have been emphasising over the last couple of years through our teaching programme and home group material, and you may have seen this in the 5-minute video in our Bible studies this week in home groups, that the Bible is a library. The text it contains are of different lengths, different styles, written at different times and places, in different languages by different people. But there is a common theme, a common message running through them all, which unites them into a single message. There is a Holy Spirit-shaped central message, a central vision, woven through all 66 books. Have you ever stopped and thought about how you would summarise God's message found in the Bible? It may have been an activity you did at home group. What is God's vision for this world, for you and for me? Personally, I really like Stanley Grenz's summary here. "The Bible reveals that God is at work establishing a reconciled humankind, living in a renewed creation, enjoying fellowship with the triune God." And that's a summary, in his words, of verses like Romans 8 and Ephesians 2 and Revelation 21. But I must admit, it is quite a mouthful and it doesn't simply roll off your tongue that easily. So I wonder what would be a simpler way of explaining it and perhaps also including how all of this will come about. I think the shortest summary I'm happy with is simply, follow Jesus. Because to me, the Bible is clear that in Jesus we encounter the life and teaching of God. And this is the central thrust of Jesus' own claim in John 14, which we've already heard read out this evening. So let me read parts of this passage again from verses 6 and 7. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." Verse 9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Verses 10 and 11, "The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Here, as in many other places in the four Gospels, we hear Jesus claiming a unique and special relationship with God. So if creation raises questions about life and the existence of God, by looking to the Bible, and specifically to Jesus, we should find the answers. Through his words and deeds, Jesus brings about God's vision for his creation. As Hebrews 1 tells us, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in many ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So the New Testament contains the vision the words of God are spoken through and lived out by Jesus. But it also goes on to explore how the early followers of Jesus revealed God's vision to those living in the first century. It tells us how they lived out God's vision themselves, despite their differences, their backgrounds, the Gentile and the Jewish life experiences they'd had themselves. And in the coming weeks, as we go through the Apostles' Creed, we will encounter a summary of the life and work of Jesus in more detail. But for today, I think it's enough to remind ourselves that whatever stage on the journey of faith we each are at, if we want to know God, then the best thing to do is to draw close to Jesus. I wonder if you have a favourite gospel summary of Jesus' life you like to read. What is it about Matthew or Mark or Luke or John that draws you in? Reading a gospel together with a friend who is exploring Christianity is a great way to introduce them to Jesus and God's vision for his creation. There are plenty of online resources available to help guide you through a gospel, or get in touch with the church office who will recommend sources for you. For many people today, their only knowledge of Jesus is a distant memory of a school nativity play. Many people have a simplistic and a watered down, a child's version understanding of the life and teaching of Jesus. So by reading the Gospels as adults together, we can bring alive the truth behind the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. And now we've entered lockdown again, perhaps we could all devote some time to reading the Gospels again, getting closer to Jesus afresh. Perhaps reading them in a different Bible translation is a great way to see the radical life of Jesus through fresh eyes. We can get complacent to the language, to the words, the pattern, even where the stories are in our Bibles on the page. So reading it with a fresh translation can stimulate our own thinking. Oh, I didn't realise that. Oh, is that how it's said? Do I like that way it's been translated from the Greek? And if your Greek is as rubbish as mine is, then we need to compare and contrast different translations as we try and work together to find out what Jesus was up to. So as we move towards a close, I hope tonight I've encouraged you, us all, to think about our own spiritual journey and how God reveals himself to us. Through creation, God can move us to consider his existence. Through the Bible, God reveals his vision for our lives. And through Jesus, the way, the truth and the life, his vision becomes real in our lives. But before we finish, I want to slip one more way God reveals himself to people. I wonder what people think when they see the people of God, Christians, at their work, rest and play. You might reply, it depends. It may depend what the people of God are doing during their work, rest and play. I wonder how God's church, how we at Belmont reveal God to others. How well do we do it? Do we encourage and inspire people, each other, to come to faith or continue in faith through our words and deeds? Just as Jesus' words and deeds reveal God, so God uses our words and deeds to reveal himself. Listen to what I think are other helpful words from Stanley Grenz. The church is to be the fellowship of individuals who are bound together by the love present among them through the power of God's Spirit, which is exemplified by humble service to each other and the world. Indeed, as we exist in love, we reflect what God is like. Grenz reminds us that it is the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, which empowers the people of God, you and me, to reveal God's character and vision to others through our acts of service. So that, using the words of 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all to the glory of God. In all our activities, when we act under the direction of the Holy Spirit, we reveal the true character and nature of God. We reveal that God is love. When we choose to cooperate with God's Spirit, then those around us get a glimpse of God's perfect kingdom. So during this lockdown time, when normal life is disrupted, perhaps we're going to have to think of new and different ways to reveal God's love to our neighbours. If you're a disciple of Jesus, why not think how this week you can use the gifts which God has given you? And for those of you who are exploring the Christian faith from the outside, watch us carefully. How well do we reveal God's vision for his creation to you? Yeah, we the people of God are certainly a work in progress, but the longer you travel with us, my prayer is that you will see more and more glimpses of God, God's vision for his creation through us. So tonight we've explored four ways which God reveals himself to people. How God does not wait for us to come to him, but he loves us so much that he is willing to come to us and walk with us on our own journeys of faith. Those of us here tonight who are able to say, I believe in God, I have faith in God, can only do this because God first came to us and revealed himself to us. My prayer tonight is that we would all be open to the presence of God's Spirit in our lives as we explore the Apostles' Creed. For those of us searching and asking questions about Christianity over the coming weeks, may you learn more and more about the life and teaching of Jesus and God's vision for his creation. My hope is that you would embrace the God who loves you and that you find peace and rest in him. For those of us further along our journeys of faith with God, I pray that we will continue to partner with God, being guided and equipped by his Holy Spirit to reveal his kingdom vision on earth as in heaven, using our heads, our hearts and our hands. We will live out the truth of the Apostles' Creed by loving God and loving our neighbours in all we say and do day by day. Amen.